America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if they ever used that line with me. Like, they wouldn't say, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. They'd be like, no, we're mad.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm not mad, and I'm not really disappointed. I just don't like to use that phrase. I think that we in the media and, you know, coaches and players, you can think about it differently when you're actually doing it. But for me, as a fan and as a media person, when I look at it at 3-4 and you've got 10 games left, it's like the boy who cried wolf. We're not ready to cry wolf in October.
Okay, but did you hear the subtle change that I made? I didn't call it a must win. I said it's not a must win, but they must win. It's more emotional, dude. It's not mathematical. You're right. The season does not end if we show up Monday morning coming off of a loss. I can't even say it. And that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. You went into last week. I thought they'd win. I really did. I was wrong on that. I understood it was a very high chance that they didn't win. And so there was an emotional preparedness for what ended up happening, even though I did not like it all the way that it went down. That's totally fair. That emotional preparedness is not there this week. I'm going to be all kinds of not okay if they don't win this football game on Sunday night.
Well, even through all the injuries they have, Dallas is injured as well. Maybe as injured, maybe not as injured. The Niners are better. The Niners are home.
Correct.
And Dallas has really two things that they can do to hurt you. One is CeeDee Lamb. Pretty obvious, Niners. Go ahead and do your best to cover him.
Just put
and the other
on
one
him.
Yeah. Is special teams, where their kick returner's number two in net yards, and their kicker's great, their punter's great. If you muck it up with an M on special teams, you can lose this game.
What matters more going into a football game in your little rest deal? This is what I wonder. Because the Cowboys come in rested, the Niners come in embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've watched Fred Warner talk this week. I feel like the 49ers are embarrassed with themselves.
Yeah.
And so the Cowboys come in with a physical rest. I think the 49ers come in with an emotional edge. Because they truly... Like, they have got to, I mean, Jerry Rice came on our station.
Yeah.
And called them a dead sideline, not fired up for the game. And you performed awful. And Brock Purdy played his worst game of his career. Kurt Warner has said it now, too. Like, embarrassing. It's not embarrassing every time you lose.
No. Minnesota was not embarrassing.
No, but yeah, I'd actually argue, unfortunately for the Niners this year, three of the four times they've lost, it's been embarrassing.
Yeah.
And that has got to drive them on Sunday.
Yeah, it does. And that game against Kansas City reminded me of playing Nerf basketball against Chris Fulton every year at Thanksgiving, and he'd kind of let me hang around, and then got down to winning time, and I couldn't get a shot off. And he'd win, I'd cry, he'd laugh, and we'd go have turkey.
Perfect.
That's the way that went.
And it was embarrassing.
It was always embarrassing because I kept coming back. And the Niners have no choice but to keep coming back. And just as far as rest disadvantage goes, they're a -7 against Dallas. They do get a +8 against Tampa.
Yep.
Niners off a bye, but then they're -7 against Seattle off a bye. Buffalo's coming off a bye when they play at Buffalo. Chicago will have a 3-day edge when they play Chicago. So the schedule's tough for opponents, but also for a lack of rest.
There are a few of you texting in right now. What are you talking about? Dallas just got embarrassed at home. I'm sorry. I'm making a distinction here that maybe I didn't verbalize. Dallas sucks. So I don't care if you got embarrassed. Carolina gets embarrassed every week. You can't come back and be like, but nah. The premise is that the Niners are still a good football team. It's a good football team that is underperforming. They are undisciplined. They are obviously dealing with a huge injury bug, as many teams are. But I believe it is a team that is underachieving. I don't think that about Dallas. Their 3-3 record is actually one of the most misleading things in the entire NFL this year.
Yeah. I was watching that Pittsburgh game back yesterday, and I still don't know how they beat Pittsburgh. And that was the Justin Fields Pittsburgh, and they still were kind of trying to find their way.
And last play of the game, too, by the way, on
exactly.
a fourth down.
It's a nail-biter. And then I think they're more like the team that we saw against Detroit. And Detroit could have put up 60. I know they kind of tried to with all of the trickery that they kept pulling out. But
that team.
That was a statement game,
that
too.
That team is scary.
Yeah.
That team is good. That team is really good. Coach Franklin in Oakland. Hey, Coach, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, how we doing? First off, let me give you a shout out, Dibs. You the smartest man that I've heard on the radio. I listen to you guys every day. Willer, you are the happiest father that I've ever spoken to.
Oh, I'm gonna take that as a compliment, Coach. Thank you. I do. I got three, and they're the whole damn world.
Hey, I'm a newly grandpa, so. 38-year-old grandpa. So
what? I was going to say, your voice does not sound like you can. What? 38-year-old grandpa?
Yeah, 38-year-old grandpa.
Got some people doing work out here.
Yeah.
All right, Coach, what's up?
All right, so what I wanted to talk about was mainly, okay, when I heard Kurt Warner say, first of all, when he said hope, I'll get to that hope part as a coach, but when we were talking about, well, what do we need? It's what do we have all the other years before was a better second half. We don't adapt anymore. There's no adaptation. He does not learn. He doesn't adapt it to anything at all. Like, if my arm, when I broke my wrist, I couldn't tie my shoe, but do you think I walked out of the house every day with no shoe, with Crocs on? I adapted. I figured out a way to do it.
Does it?
Secondly,
well, hold on, Coach. Hold on, Coach.
You had me a Crocs.
Coach, I want to ask you about that. Do you not feel like there's been a history of midseason Kyle Shanahan adjustments when a season's not going well? Do you think it's been true every year or just this year?
No, there's no more hope if you do this 40 times in a row. That's insanity.
Coach,
he lost 40 times.
No, but Coach,
we're losing. Coach, based on his scheme.
Are you hearing my question?
Just maybe try it.
Yeah, he's not here. Okay. Anyway, thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. I reject that. I flatly reject that. When the Niners have been 3-4 and 3-5 in the past, you have seen actually some incredible adjustments made by the entire organization. The highlight of them is when they were like, you know what, Debo Samuel's a running back. Ha ha. And then they went to the NFC title game. Nobody had ever seen that before.
And what was their record when they traded for McCaffrey?
Their record when they traded for McCaffrey was 3-3, and then they lost the game and became 3-4.
Gotcha.
When they acquired him,
because that feels like a big adjustment.
That's an adjustment
to me as well. When you go out and you get a player, and that might be the kind of adjustment that they need to make.
Maybe.
And I'd like to see the adjustment this Sunday. Offensively, partly what Kurt Warner was talking about, and we've heard it from everybody, if you're having trouble getting guys open, bunch formation, rub routes, short routes, do something a little different offensively, and I think he will.
I see that, and I agree that it feels that way to this point. Let's see. Let's see what the adjustment is, but we're not there yet to say that he won't adjust. He has in the past, and again, injuries that happen that you didn't know were coming when your whole receiving core, you think you have them and then you don't. To me, that's different from a game planning standpoint. This one will tell a story. There's no doubt. All right. 888-957-9570. Joel, notice what happened with Kuminga yesterday? And I don't mean his play. I mean the way that you kind of all feel about him. Let's get into this coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Court to Wiggins. He's open. He fires and buries a triple from the left sideline. Golden State now has a 9-point lead, 54-45.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Whoa! Whoa. Wait a minute!
Wiggins, love
whoa,
it.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Are you going to pull through here?
Shut the front door.
Woe to the Nelly, or as we say to the baby, woe to the Nell.
Dude, it turns out your impersonation of Wiggins stinks.
I know.
It doesn't sound anything like that.
I could do it for you if you want.
Do yours, and then Grandy will play Andrew again.
All right, and you can grade mine, Grandy, on a scale of 1 to 5. You ready for my Wiggins?
They maybe play Wiggins first, and then people can see how well you're copying.
Oh, good call.
All right,
yeah.
Grandy, play some more Andrew.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, now do yours.
And scene.
Yeah, I don't think that they're...
No? My Wiggins is...
It's not terrible.
Nation, you're listening to Willard and Dibbs. I like the way he's very matter of fact. I don't know if I've ever heard him speak before. And I've been doing this for 27 years.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I love this man.
It's almost
he's awkward. Already having a big year.
It's like awkward to listen to because I'm not even focused on what he's saying. I'm just focused on the fact that he's saying it.
Words.
What?
Can I take you guys a little bit behind the scenes?
Absolutely. Please.
So as you know, and all you loyal listeners out there know, a lot of Warrior players have said both Dibs, your picks stink, and Dibs, I like your picks. There is a couple who didn't do that at all. Andrew Wiggins was one of them.
Right.
I bet. I don't know what a Dibs is, and I don't know what his picks are.
I'm not sure if he just simply refused or what, but he did not do it.
Which option do you want? And he's like, whichever one is over the fastest.
Exactly. I don't know what the hell a Dibs is, so how am I going to talk about his picks?
I pick no Dibs.
Right.
At all.
Well, Andrew, I got your back this year. It's clean slate Dibs. And just for the record, I was on getting my hopes up for Wiggs, and so far through one game.
So far so good.
So far so great for Andrew Wiggins.
Well, so here's what's weird. I got a weird sort of a vibe coming out of yesterday, and not so much yesterday, actually today. And at the risk of like being affected by only a few people that are a small sample, some of whom are named Mark Grandy and Lucas Alexander, the director of sports at 95.7 The Game, I think. He's kind of like Wiggins. I don't even know where he is or when he's coming back. But he's sort of like, the idea of him is out there.
He might get Wally Pipped by Steven Rizzotto.
I'm fine with that. Anyway.
Rizzotto's on that Pip tip. He's doing great. Anyway.
So here's the Jonathan Kuminga, I don't know what the word is. It's too cliched to be like the hate.
Slander. It's slander.
The concerns, the slander, the pointing to characteristics that are bad. Like he doesn't shoot it and he doesn't understand the game the way that you want him to, the way the other players all did. All of this stuff came pouring out. And then I'm listening to Steiny and Goo, and the callers are saying it. They're like, he's never going to get it.
Right.
He's never, like, the light bulb is just not going to come on. And I'm like, all right, they won by, how many points did they win by? 114? What?
Something
how many,
like 35.
35. They won by 35 points. Nobody had great stats because nobody played that long. Buddy buckets, whatever, Andrew, like, nice, but nobody. Nobody like, wow, he busted. No, nobody did that. And it's one basketball game. So here's what it sort of felt like to me. Many of you, not all of you, many of you had underlying negative feelings about Jonathan Kuminga before the season started, and you didn't tell anyone. You've all been hiding. You've all been, he's going to be a super. He's a future superstar, and he flies. Free Kuminga. Steve Kerr hates young people. Damn it, let him cook. Why is Steve holding the good man? That's all I've heard for a year and a half. And then we get to last night, and the overwhelming set. He's never going to get it.
Right.
The light bulb is just not going to come on, so that's the guy to move on from. Really? After one night, you're telling me that now you want to keep Andrew Wiggins and move on? After a year of somebody give Wiggins away for a pair of shoes, that's what this fan base...
I was in that camp.
And then today, am I wrong? Is it a mischaracterization sensation?
That's a buck, but no.
But I feel like that's, and again, cha-ching! not all of you by any stretch, but I've heard this a lot today. It feels like you are very discouraged by what you saw from Jonathan Kuminga last night.
Yeah, and I want to just say this clearly because it's only been one game, and the idea of he's never going to get it, to me, it cuts in a number of different ways because... He's only 22 years and 18 days old. So this is a man who just turned 22 and a guy who did not play college basketball. He went right into the G League. I think he played for G League Ignite as an 18-year-old, which is not necessarily a structure where you're going to learn a lot of fundamentals and you're not going to learn a lot of team basketball. It's mostly players who are trying to get seen and trying to get drafted, which he did. Since he's been in Golden State, his playing time has gradually increased. And I don't think you can look at Jonathan Kuminga and say, well, he hasn't gotten any better. He's gotten a lot better. So you take a player at 18 who was raw, unpolished, and inexperienced, and you go 4 years ahead, and now suddenly he can't get it. And I guess what people are saying is that he can't get any better. This is as good as he's going to be.
I don't think it's that. I think that they think, and I'm going to read literally what Grandy and Lucas, for example, were saying earlier. I don't think it's that he can't get better. I think it's that there are specific characteristics many think he will never have. Feel, instinct, one of the heady players, decision-making, knowing the right play, when to pass, when to shoot, when to drive, all of that stuff. Grandy, yeah, I'm trying not to overreact to one game, but he just doesn't seem to fit this team. He doesn't know how to pick his spots. He's not a natural. He's never in the right spot. Steph has to direct him where to go on a fast break. He should be good defensively. He's not. Lucas is like, it's year four. He's got no feel. You fired at him. Two words. One game.
One game.
One game.
One game.
And then Lucas goes, he's played 239 games, Dibbers. That regular season, postseason, this is year four. I don't think you can develop feel and instinct.
And this is where I will take offense for Jonathan Kuminga, because you absolutely can develop feel and instincts. And it takes time, and it takes experience. Mm. It takes playing basketball. It's not a guarantee that he will develop these things, right. But the more you play, unless you think that he's incapable of learning or too stubborn to take the advice and take the teaching and improve, I believe you can improve the intangibles, basketball IQ. It can go up. Will he ever be Kyle Anderson, slow-mo, who is, many people say, has some of the best feel and the best basketball IQ that they've ever seen? Probably not. Draymond Green is among the 10 greatest basketball IQ players in history, most likely. Will he ever be that? Probably not. But can he improve in those areas? That is where I push back on the notion of him hitting a ceiling, him not being able to get it, him not having feel, and all the rest of it. Those things you can develop over time.
I'm going to agree with you, but then I'm going to walk out of the room. Not actually, because you can't hear us from out there.
Right.
I think in a general sense, instincts and feel are something that can get better over time. I will also say that I think with how long he has now been playing, they should be further along. And I would argue that if you're going to make me guess as to whether or not it's ever going to be where it really needs to be, because, again, we're not talking about being serviceable. We're talking about over $200 million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're not, again, understand where I'm coming from. I'm not here to tell you JK stinks. I'm not here to tell you that he can't be a rotation guy, can't be a starter, can't be a good player. I'm not here to tell you any of that. But right now, if you're asking me, am I comfortable with his current instincts based on the fact that we've got now 81 more regular season opportunities before a decision needs to be made on $220 million, my answer is a hard no.
Well, it's their answer. And that's not really the question for me, because if they were totally sold that he could go from where he is to being worthy of $200 million, they would have given him the money that he reportedly asked for. He would have gotten the max extension, and they would have been all done with it. But the team itself, I would imagine, is looking at this and saying, all right, we see where you are. We see where we'd like you to be after 82 regular season games and playoffs. And if you get there, then we can talk about a big money extension when we get there.
I think you're right, but it's also a little bit more complex. Put it not more complex. There are more things. It's not just, do we think you're good enough? Financial flexibility is a thing you have to sort of like,
right.
You have to play it out. Like, what's the, even if we did think that, is it the smart thing for us to do right now and stay flexible? In other words, we may get to a point where we want to trade Jonathan Kuminga. We really, really may get there. We don't know. If he becomes a star, we want to keep him. If he's only going to be so big, then we may not want to keep him. And what makes him more tradable? If we just jump and go $220 million and then he's very much not a $220 million player, that makes it very hard to move his contract, and now it's sitting on your lap.
True, so, but if you do sign him in the offseason, if he gets an offer from someone and it's $200 million and you decide to match it, well, you can't trade him until the trade deadline anyway.
Correct.
Remember the Lauri Markkanen, there was the a six-month year. Thing sure. and whatnot. So, and right now, if you want to trade him, you're only getting $7.6 million back in salary if you trade him before then. So I do think that the prudent thing, and you were talking about financial flexibility, optionality, which was the big word last year, when you have him at $7.6 million, it's a show me. And if he does develop more instincts, more defense, more off the ball, spatial awareness, and still averages 17 a game, well, then he's in a spot where he'll probably get the bag.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple of important things here, because it surprised me today, just the sound of it. And again, I know maybe we didn't hear from everybody. Maybe there's a silent majority out there. But the sound of it is that y'all did have some underlying frustrations or concerns about Jonathan Kuminga before the year even started. And you can get distracted by the fancy stuff. And we do. It's basketball and it's entertainment. So when you fly and you dunk, we're like, you're good. But if you want to push that conversation a little further and go, well, if you're going to have a major max type investment from a team, you've got to show more than just the fancy stuff. You're going to have to, you know what I mean? It's like the fancy ring, you put it on the finger. Now you got to go do the marriage.
Yes.
Right? And that like that takes work and understanding and all of those things. And I do think he is coming up short on that end right now. Has been his whole career. He's better. He's better each year, but it's in no given year is it where I would love to see it.
Well,
and maybe that's understandable.
I think it's very raw. Incredibly raw.
And they knew that.
And
when they got him.
And when you got him, you didn't really play him. And I'm looking at the numbers right now in minutes. He didn't get to play a lot of minutes. And so you get better by playing. And so you got into a situation where
contender.
They were a championship
yeah.
team, and so you're not going to play young players. And so I do think that retarded or, you know, kind of diminished his ability to go out there and get better. If he went to Detroit or if he went to Washington, just go play. Go out there and play and get better. And I also think the whole thing about he doesn't fit. Maybe he doesn't fit with this style of basketball, and maybe he fits better somewhere else.
How would you describe this style that he doesn't fit?
This style is pass movement, ball movement, player movement, and maybe he's more suited to a more isolated style, a style where it's a lot more one-on-one basketball, and he can just go out there and, you know, get the ball and you go score. That's not what they do here.
I know this isn't what you mean, but what that sounds like to me is maybe he's more suited to be on a bad team.
Maybe. And, you know, again,
because I don't like ISO ball. Good God. That doesn't win.
Well,
doesn't win.
What wins is having a lot of good players. Like Boston, they do play a lot of ISO, but they have two amazing players and great supporting cast.
They move the ball very nicely.
Right.
They move the ball beautifully,
well,
I think.
If you look at a lot of teams, and I'm not saying a bad team, but if he was on a bad team, he would have played more than he had so far throughout his career.
Well, for sure. For sure.
And so we can talk about 229 games.
But that's like 3-4 years ago. Like, I don't think you can now sit here and be like, Kuminga, if this is how you feel, if you feel like it's not clicking, like you just don't get it, light bulb kind of thing, if that's how you feel, I don't think you can say, well, because he hasn't played enough. He has now. I mean, like, he's starting to log a lot of minutes. And so that's all I'm saying. I think it's gotten better each year, but in no given year would I look at it and go, yeah, that's exactly where you want it to be. I think it feels behind. I think it has always felt a little behind. With whatever snippet you're getting of him, large or small, it's always felt a little bit lagging in terms of the continuity with the other things that are going on the court.
I would say not that far behind if you look at it from the reality of what your expectations were when you drafted an 18-year-old who played I don't even think he played much high school. He didn't play college.
No.
He played 1 year of G League, and you got him, and it was a lot of teaching him about the intricacies of what you do and how you play. And that first year, he played 16 minutes a game.
Right.
And then he played 20 minutes a game. These are not long stretches of, hey, go out there and you're going to play 30 to 35, and we're gonna live and die with all your mistakes.
That's
he didn't
not
really
nothing.
Have that
that's
freedom.
That's not nothing, though. 20 minutes a game, that's not nothing. That's a hefty role on a team.
It's a role. I mean, the first year, it wasn't much of a role. And I'm just saying that if you go to a team like Portland, for example.
Yeah.
And Portland's not going to be very good.
A bad team.
And they drafted a high rookie this year, the 7-2 guy. Grandy loved him in the pregame last night. I was listening to him.
Donovan Klingon.
Thank you, Klingon. I appreciate you saving me there. He's going to get a chance to play 30 to 35 minutes a night no matter what. And it's not going to matter what he does. Just go out there and try to get better. Kuminga didn't have that same freedom.
Right, right.
Which I think hurts your development. So I don't think that he's necessarily far behind, considering where he started and how they went about developing him. That's all I'm saying.
That feels like an unfair thing to ask the Warriors to do. You're a contender. You can't just put him out there and deal with it.
Right. Like, I don't think it's unfair, but I do think you have to look at his development through that lens, through the lens of they didn't want to just throw him out there because they were trying to win championships.
I get you that what you're saying is therefore you have to add more patience.
Yes.
I'll agree with you. Problem is we're out of time.
Well, this is a big year.
Yeah,
we're out of year.
There's no, let's do $220 million and see a few more games. We're out of time.
Right, he's got the year.
Yeah, he's got the year.
He's got the year.
He may not have the year. He may not. I mean, again, if a trade is coming, and Monty Poole told us that yesterday, if you've got 12 players and everybody's good, and you start winning basketball games, and you want to make a move, and someone becomes available at the deadline, I mean, who's the first person they're going to ask for? So this is, to me, this is the biggest challenge of the year for the Golden State Warriors, is if Jonathan Kuminga is, quote, not fitting, you for two reasons, you can't just tuck him on the bench. A, I think he's the only guy who won't handle it well, and B, you're going to kill his value. And what you actually want to do is flip him in as a package to get the player you do actually want.
Yeah.
So that's Jonathan Kuminga to me does represent, or at least potentially, he represents the pickle on this team right now.
Right, and part of the pickle too is who would you package with him if you wanted to trade him? Because as I said many times, and I'll keep saying it, you don't have a lot of high salaries to part with to get a high salary back. And you don't just get to trade an $8 million Kuminga for a $40 million player. It doesn't work like that in the NBA.
Let's go to Mike in San Jose. Hi, Mike. What are you doing?
Right now I'm listening to you guys, and I got to be honest. You guys are talking a lot of hypotheticals. You're not really talking about the game, because the way it unfolded in the first quarter, Kuminga had first 6 minutes on the court. I told my fiance, I'm telling you what happens on the first play. Okay? I told her, Kuminga gets the ball, he goes to the rim and gets to the line. Now it happens. Now one of Kuminga's flaws has been free throws. He clanks the first free throw. Okay. Strike one, whatever. It's the first couple minutes of a game. Okay, then he gets lost on defense. Okay, go ahead. Oh, you got lost on defense. Okay, that happens. Okay, then he fails to rebound. Then several times the ball's in front of him, the rim's right in front of him. He doesn't try to shoot it, makes a bad play. So there's a bad decision. So we're already talking about three out of his four flaws that he has already showing within the first 6 minutes. The Warriors don't even hit a field goal while he's in the game. Soon as he goes to the bench, Warriors go on a run. They start coming back. They look like a different team. So you guys can sit there and tell me all you want. And you could say, Kuminga this, Kuminga that. We see it unfolding with our eyes. We see the regression. He's not moving forward. He's taking a step backward. His body language said that too.
Mike, you sound in your call like you're kind of refuting what you're saying, and I think you're actually kind of agreeing with at least the premise of this conversation. I know Dibs and I have gone a little back and forth on some of it. I tend to agree with what you're saying. I'm not big on plus minus. I know everyone likes to look at that, especially in a small sample. It's really difficult to take a lot out of it. I do think it's interesting, though, in a game like this. When you win by 35 points, and one of your starters who played 20 minutes in the game put up a net zero in plus minus. That's wild. The Warriors did not beat Portland in the 20 minutes that Jonathan Kuminga was on the floor. That's a, Mike, I think that's to your point.
Correct. Now, it is one game, and that's what I took from it. I'm all, well, it's one game. We keep saying one game. It's been 3 years. It's 82 games a year. We're looking at about 250 opportunities for him to show that he's moved forward in one of the four categories. We're talking about rebounding, shot manufacturing. We're talking about decision-making. We're talking about using your athletic ability. He did none of that last night in any part of it. He got to the line and clanked his free throw. And we know the free throws has been his issue. So you guys can sit there and you can give the excuses. I love this team. I want him to succeed. I'm a Warrior fan to the core. But the problem is he is not for this team. What you said before was he's for a bad team, some team that's willing to give him a bunch of minutes. If he wants to win and be on a good team, you get it where you can, and that's how you eat. You play into your contract. He doesn't have that. He's hit his ceiling with us. Maybe what you said, maybe it is time for a change for him. But the Warriors are going nowhere with him, and it kind of sucked to see that because I wanted the best for him, and I really do like him.
Maybe we give him more than one game.
Mike, thanks.
Thank you, Mike. And
he's not only referring to one game.
I get it, but you know, a lot of last night, and we're drilling down, and you're pointing out his plus-minus of zero. And
that's interesting when you win by 35 and you played almost half the game.
Two-fifths, but
crazy.
The thing about plus-minus, and I know we got to go, but we all use it. We weaponize that stat to make our case or refute the other case. And so it's something I'm going to do all season long. Good old plus-minus.
Well, no, I'm certainly not calling for that. And I think that the statement just made by our caller is a little bit too firm, but I think that he's on to something with the way it's sort of trending. I'll give him that. One of our texters, Comcast Business Text Line, just said Wiggins was worse. Wiggins shot over 50% from two. He shot over 50% from three. He scored 20 points, had a plus nine in the plus minus. I don't know what you're talking about. Wiggins was 1,000 times better than Jonathan Kuminga last night. All right. We'll keep taking your calls on this. What is your current feeling about Jonathan Kuminga? He's the future, or you want him on a different team? 888-957-9570. Also, not too far around the corner, about a half hour away, our conversation with Kurt Warner heading into Niners Cowboys was really fantastic. We'll have it for you on Willard and Dibbs.
Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah! You damn right they do! You damn right they do!
I think they should start Kevon over you, Trace. Act like you could shoot a three, Trace.
No, please don't.
Everyone else is doing it.
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
You're listening to Willard and Dibs
on 95.7
The Game. Hey, Dibs. Your picks stink.
Yeah!
You know what? Both of you, I think they should go small. I think GP2 should get the nod. Don't play a GP2. I can't.
I really wish you were going to say Kyle Anderson.
Dub Nation, it's Kyle Anderson.
No.
You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
So forceful, new guy.
No, actually,
damn!
In a huge upset, Kevon Looney was the most forceful.
I know, right?
He paused and threw it at you.
Totally.
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney.
This was
Willer and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Oh wow!
Heavy on the stink.
Your picks stink.
Yeah, man.
I mean, he's talking to you like he's somebody who lost money following you.
Well. If he wants to make money, now would be a good time to make a little bit of money.
Oh, there is a football game in 29 minutes that Puka Nacua might play in just a wee little bit. And Cooper Kupp is going to play. And Aaron Jones is going to play. And everybody's going to play. And it's just going to be wonderful. And so I think we should probably make money. So let's go. Let's make money.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it, you make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
All right, the Vikings are a road 2.5-point favorite over the Los Angeles Rams. Dan Dibley, what do you say?
Well, I got a pick, and I just before I make it, Grandy, I've been hot on Thursday night, right? I mean, you got all the numbers there. I've been cooking with Crisco on Thursday night. I think I might be undefeated. Mr. Thursday night, they call me in
Let's
some
see.
Sectors.
That's not week true. Week 7 Thursday night, you lost. Week 6 Thursday night, that was the Niners, you won.
Yeah.
Week 5 Thursday night, you lost.
Okay.
Week 4 Thursday night was a draw, a push.
Okay.
Week 3 Thursday night was a loss.
Okay. One.
Week 2 Thursday night was a win, yeah. And then week 1 was a loss.
So 2 and 4.
2-4-1.
Yeah, so you're hot.
Oh, yeah. That's a Mr. Thursday night.
Yeah.
I told you Thursday is the best day of the week. That's where we make the most money.
Yeah, it is.
Off of your crappy picks.
Well, then you're going to love this pick because you always taught me, I didn't learn it, but when you see a spread that looks like odd, you lean into
sense.
It.
Yeah.
This one does not make sense. Nope. Vikings only favored by 2.5. home dogs on a Thursday night is usually the play.
He cannot contain his excitement based on where this is going.
I can't even finish.
Go ahead.
Are you done?
No.
This is normally when you actually take a play off.
No, it's really not. I do a lot of rooting when this is happening, and I'm a loud rooter.
Well,
Come on.
Start your faint, Jim.
Make your bet.
I'm taking the Vikings and laying the 2.5. Cuckoo.
Wait a minute. You said you were going to lean into it.
Switch,
please. Why did you do that?
When you lean into it, you would take the Rams.
Correct.
I told you the lead-in was you taught me something, but I didn't learn it.
Oh.
Don't you listen?
No,
don't. You get it?
Don't you know by now that I don't listen?
Minnesota should be favored by 6, so I'm only being forced to lay 2.5. Minnesota's a lot better than the Rams, and it's a revenge game for Kevin O'Connell, who comes from the McVay tree. His guys are motivated to bounce back after a loss. I'm taking the Vikings, laying the points. Kagoosh.
I'm so sad I celebrated early.
Yeah, premature celebration.
See, and I'm going to use Grandy, though, as backing. It sounded like you were going to take the Rams. That's what it sounded like was about to happen.
You couldn't tell because you were interrupting me, and he was back there clapping and cheering.
Because it sounded like you were going to take the Rams.
I'm taking the Vikings, laying the points, cuckoo.
I understand that now.
Thank you.
That's why the air just got sucked out of the room.
Well.
Because the room was excited.
After
and
tonight.
You walked in like a party crasher. Yeah. Came in like Eddie Murphy whacking the jukebox.
Yep.
That's it. And then you took the Vikings.
Was that
and,
a 48 Hours reference?
I think that's 48 Hours, right?
Okay. Yeah. The Vikings the Vikings are my fourth most confident pick in the week in my confidence pool. I like it.
Crap.
And I'm laying 3 in my pool, so go ahead and win by 4 or more, Minnesota.
We almost had the perfect confluence of picks because there's a certain former 95.7 The Game host who now makes picks on ESPN who's going the other way, and I wanted you two to be together so I could go against both of you.
We spent 3.5 years together, and I'm just going to say this openly. That was plenty.
I never met him, and that was plenty.
That's even better.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's great. And if you want to talk about people I made, don't even get me started. Carry that guy for 3.5 years.
I won't.
That's all I'm going to say on that.
Okay.
Anyway, Vikings minus 2.5, cuckoosh.
Well,
the pick is in. Yep.
Grandy, I think you should take the Rams. I really do. No, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
That Minnesota's not favored by more.
Especially because it was 3 and then it went to 2.5. They only need to win by a field goal?
Seems too easy.
Mark it down. Darnold's throwing 2 picks tonight. I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, this is screaming stay away. Screaming it. Vikings minus 2.5. What is that? What kind of line is that? That does not make sense. The Rams? Oh, they do have their receivers. I mean, they do have their receivers.
Kind of.
They do.
Well, they're going to play.
Cooper Kupp is a full go.
I don't know if they actually have their receivers.
Puka is a partial go. He's a good.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Rams 1-1 this year as a home underdog. So there's your trend.
I'm pretty sure I know which one was the one that they won.
I can't remember.
Anyway.
I can't recall.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Kurt Warner in 10 minutes.
Right.
Let's go to David in San Mateo. Hi, David. Thanks for calling. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm driving the kids around.
Boy, I felt that one. Go ahead, David.
Sorry. Hey, so on the Kuminga, I think Dunleavy's concern is if you give Kuminga the contract, he's not the type of guy that's going to play into that contract. You know, he doesn't have that mentality that, you know, when Dunleavy and Kerr played, they played like they're, you know, chips on their shoulders and scrappy and all-out effort. And I think the concern is that Kuminga, if you give him the contract, he may not develop into that next level. So the easier answer is to trade him now to get some value out of him, as opposed to taking the risk that you give him this max contract, and it looks pretty bad in a year or two.
Well, all I'll say, David, like it's just – and thanks, David. It's a dicey situation. You know, David makes it sound like it's an easy answer. I like what you've said today. If you trade him right now, what's he make? $7 million?
Yeah, seven and change.
All right, so that, like, he's got to be part of a much bigger package if you're going to land somebody who's much better or much higher paid. So now you're just tossing Kuminga in like he's a piece. I don't know if you want to do that. You definitely want to wait and get more information. Are you going to develop? Are you going to up your trade value? But the issue there is that the Warriors seem to think that they might be good this year and have a lot of playable people. And so if there are nights, like Steph said last night, where it's not your night, just tuck yourself and your attitude over there on the bench and don't worry about it. Well, that doesn't feel like JK. And so are they like jamming him into the lineup so that he can show them what he can do and up his trade value? And nobody wants that. So the whole thing is riding a very, very tight rope.
Unless you don't want to trade him. Unless you are of the mind, and if Monty Poole is to be taken at his word, and I will take him at his word always because he knows and
sure,
he's experienced and he's connected. If the Warriors are likely to make a trade before the deadline, it doesn't mean that Kuminga has to be in it. And it can.
Well, that's true.
For me, it likely would mean that it would be Wiggins in it because that's a big enough salary that would help you get something back. And I also think that any trade you would make would be a 3-for-1 or maybe a 4-for-2 kind of deal where you go from a 12-man rotation down to the 10 with a better player on top. So if you don't think about trading Kuminga, then this year really is an easy one because you just play him and then you see what the market dictates he should be paid, and then you either match it or you don't.
Well, first off, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.